podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Heavenly Father, this morning we just thank you that you are sovereign over all of the affairs of this world. That even terrorists, when they mean to do harm, to do the worst, Father, even when they succeed, Lord, you're still in control. You still know what you're doing. You're still calling people to yourself. Father, thank you that even now, 10 years later, we still can feel a sense of the trauma of that day and the sadness. And Father, just help us, Lord, to not lose that feeling, but Lord, to channel it toward loving you more and toward loving each other more. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ten years later, there are still many, many questions. The biggest question that I still ask in my mind, and maybe you ask it too, is why? Why do these Islamic terrorists hate us so much that they would do something so horrible? Why did they proclaim war, holy war, jihad against us? And why would they, over the course of years, come up with this terrible plan? Some say it's because of our freedom, because of our capitalism, because of our success as a nation, because of our Christian heritage. Some people say it's because of our support for the nation of Israel in the Middle East, and because of the actions of the United States in defending Israel at the expense, at times, of Arab lives. Some say it's because of our actions during the Gulf War. While we remember that war as a successful victory over Iraq in liberating the nation of Kuwait and the people of Kuwait, there are many Islamic people who remember that Gulf War as a desecration of their holy sites, and they see it for our purposes of enriching ourselves with oil. And some say that the reason this happened is because Islam is a violent religion, and Muslims hate America because Muslims want to take over the world by force, and we are, in their minds, the largest Christian nation in this world, and so they want to destroy us. Conquering us, in their minds, is pleasing their God. It's jihad. It's a holy war. So who is right? Which one of these opinions is right? Why do they hate us? And why would they spend so much time in so many years and so much money devising this awful plan to attack us and to terrorize us when we weren't even expecting it? You know, the truth is probably in there somewhere. It's out there somewhere. There's probably a little bit of truth mixed in all of those explanations, and probably a whole lot of lies as well. But the question that we need to ask is, why can't we all just get along? Why can't the citizens of this earth, why can't we just get along with one another? Why can't we all together as the citizens of the world just meet somewhere, you know? Like we would do as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we had a grievance, just sit down with one another somewhere in a forum, for example, like the United Nations or something like that, and just sit down and lay down our weapons and just talk it out, talk it through. Why can't we do that? You know, the answer to that question is very complex. Different cultures have different visions of what life should be like. Different cultures have different visions of who God is, of what civilization is, what politics are, what money is, of how we should trade back and forth, how these things should be done. And the reason we don't have peace is because we can't see eye to eye on these very important things. There are a myriad of issues that we just don't agree on the world over. And biblically speaking, you look in the pages of the Bible, we're taught that there will never be peace on the face of this earth until the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what the Bible says. Don't expect peace until we all recognize who God is. And on that day, there will be peace. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with one another, peace among nations, peace with strangers. And so today we may not be able to solve the problem of world peace. And believe me, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I have any answers, because I don't. But we can solve the problem this morning of personal peace, because we have control over that. We don't have control over the nations of this world, over the thoughts of competing religious systems. But what we do have control over is our own heart, our own thoughts, our own attitudes, our own actions. Each of us can be a peacemaker this morning. You can be a peacemaker. I can be a peacemaker. We can, as a people, as the body of Christ, we can be an oasis of peace where the world can find acceptance and grace and caring attitudes. You know, there's old songs that said, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." You sang that song when you were a kid? There was some truth there. Let it begin here. Let me be a person of peace. I can't control whether anybody else provides peace anywhere in this world, but I can be a person of peace, and that can make an impact. So if we were to imagine that peace is this default position in which God created the world, then there must be a process to get back to that, because things have fallen apart. There must be a way in which we can allow peace to just flow out from us if we're God's people. That process is explained by James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his letter to the churches, found in James chapter 4. I want to invite you to turn there this morning. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Follow along as I read, starting with verse 1 of James 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? And anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before God, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So why do we lack peace? It's found here in this passage of Scripture. I mean, where does our conflict come from? Why don't we just get along? And I'm not just talking on the world scene. I'm talking about just between one another, in our families, at work. Let's look at this passage this morning as if we're looking at some dominoes. Now, I'm not talking about pizza dominoes. I'm talking about domino tiles. And some of you have seen these before, and some of you have played games with these dominoes before. In fact, that's what they were designed to do. You play a game, you lay them next to each other, you count the numbers, and I've played this chicken foot game, and it seems to take forever with the dominoes, and you lay them out, and so I guess that playing these games is about as exciting as watching someone paint the side of a barn. So somebody came up with a better solution. As they were playing the game of dominoes, they started stacking them up, and they noticed that when they knocked one over, they would all fall over in succession. So they started stacking dominoes and playing with them that way, because it's much more fun than the other game. Maybe you like the game of dominoes. I don't want to hurt your feelings this morning. But the dominoes fall because you push one and it catches another and another and another. And some people have taken days and days and days to set these things up, trying to, you know, win world records, and then by mistake they knock one over and it's over. You know, there's nothing you can do. But I think our conflict, one of the reasons that we don't have peace in our world is because of the domino effect. The first domino of conflict, according to James, is our desires. He says, what is it? Chapter 4, verse 1, that causes fights and quarrels. What is it that causes fights and quarrels? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? That's what James takes it down. He starts it. That's the first domino of our conflict. It comes from within our hearts and our minds. It's our desires. It begins with your heart and your mind. The things that you desire grab a hold of you. You can't shake them. They consume you. You need to have them. They battle with you. Have you experienced that kind of desire in yourself before? That you just need to have whatever it is? I mean, think about this. You come home from a hard day at work, and you just want to be left alone. It's all you want. That is your desire. Your greatest desire as you walk through the door is just leave me alone. I've had a hard day. And so you sit down to relax, and your kids come into the room, and they're arguing with each other over something. And you know, you should calmly walk over and help them work through whatever the issue is. Talk to them about it. Settle their disagreement. But instead, you lash out at them and you drive them out of the room. And they say, can't you see I've had a terrible day? What happened? Your desire to be left alone took over and it crowded out everyone else's desires and wishes. Every other thing in the room was gone. The only thing you were left with was your desire to be left alone. So it's our desires that start this domino effect of conflict. And if desires are the first domino, the second domino is demands. Because the desires take root in our hearts and they get stronger and stronger. And James says, starting with verse 2, you want something but you don't get it. You kill and covet and you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. All of this is taking place because of our demands. When your desires intensify, they turn into demands. And the demands get a hold of you, they become even stronger than your desires. And James says that they become like idols. We become adulterous because of our desires. We look at these things that we want and these things that we need and then these things that we deserve. And we say, if only I had this, then I would be fulfilled and satisfied and I would feel good about myself and the world would be good. But I need things to fall in place for me the way I want them. And once that happens, I'll be okay. And what we're doing when we do that is we're putting our desires in the place of God. It's because we should be looking to God for fulfillment and satisfaction and peace in our lives. But instead, we're looking for things. We're looking for our desires. We're looking for whatever this world has to offer. And so James says in verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? If it's your desires that you're clamoring after, if you think that your demands will somehow get you fulfillment and satisfaction in life, then you're putting those desires in the place of God. They become your God. They begin to rule you, these desires do. But then we move on to the next domino that's set to fall, and that James begins to talk about judgment. He says in verse 11, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law. He says then later, there's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Now how do we get to judgment? This is the next domino, because we start off with our desires. They become our demands. And then we begin to look at other people as standing in the way of us getting what we want out of this world. And so we begin to judge them. We begin to judge them because they're standing in the way of our fulfillment and us getting the things that we want. Let me give you an example. How can a businessman go from being the top salesman in his office to being escorted out the door in handcuffs? Just watch the dominoes fall. For Pete, it began with a desire that he had for respect. Above all else, he wanted respect. He grew up in a home where his parents rarely encouraged him at all. And no matter how he did in school, it was never good enough. So Pete developed this thirst for respect, for encouragement, for love, for congratulations, for applause. This is what he wanted more than anything else in the world. So he wanted to receive accolades for what he did at work. And he was driven by his desire to do his best. And he does a great job, better than anyone else in his work, perhaps better than anyone else in his office and in the whole building. He is first in sales every month. But Pete's desire for respect and congratulations has intensified. He not only wants respect, he craves applause. He wants the people in his office to bow down before him and to tell him how wonderful he is. And if nobody notices the superiority of his work, he becomes moody. He begins to snap at his coworkers. He says, "Why doesn't anybody in this place appreciate me?" And he becomes angry. And this turns people off. If you have someone like this in your office, you know what happens. Because you're so turned off by that type of behavior, you make a point of not saying anything to congratulate that person. Even though they're number one every month, you don't want to say anything to encourage them because of the way they act. So month after month after month, Pete's sales figures are the highest. Month after month after month, he waits for words of respect from the people in his office. Month after month after month, they ignore him. He becomes bitter. He begins to judge everyone around him. What is wrong with them? They're cold. They're uncaring. In his mind, they're jealous of him. He becomes angrier and angrier. Then one day it happens. He comes in second. And a few people begin to smirk at him as he walks by. And he thinks they're laughing at him, because really they are. And he hears them congratulate the coworker who took first place openly and pat him on the back. And all of this pent-up anger comes out in Pete as he pushes his coworker into the wall in anger. And in a zero-tolerance work environment, that's all it took. So do you see the progression? Do you see the dominoes as they fall? They start with a desire, it becomes a demand, and then it becomes judgment against those around us. And then the next domino is punishment. You know, once we have passed judgment on another person, it doesn't take us long to get to the point in our hearts where we begin to punish them. We give them the silent treatment. We withhold our love from them. We talk about them behind their backs. We become angry. We snap at them. And then worse becomes worse, and we can even become violent as a result of our judgment and our desire to punish them. And then the peace is gone. It begins with a desire. It ends up with hatred and wrongdoing. And those are the dominoes of conflict that James talks about here in James chapter 4. You know, we may not be able to stop the dominoes from falling on the world scene. As we look at these dominoes fall on the world scene, and as we see things like September 11th, 2001 take place as a result of the hatred of this world and the getting back at one another and the secret desires of cultures and civilizations and peoples to hurt one another, we may have no control over that as individuals. But God has given us the capacity to stem the tide of conflict in our lives, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our hearts. We can make peace. We can be an influence to protect the peace one domino at a time. So let's look at how it's done. How do you protect the peace? Well, let's take this one step at a time. These are the dominoes. The first thing we need to do is to dissect your desires. To think, okay, what is it that's making me angry? What is it that's making me resentful? Why is it that I don't have peace? Why am I so bitter? Maybe it's time to do a desire check. To stop and ask some good questions. Like, why am I experiencing this conflict? Where is this coming from? What is this desire in me that is creating this feeling of unrest? Why am I not getting along? What is it? What is the thing that I believe would make me happy above all else? If only I had blank, I would be happy. I would be secure. I would be at peace. What is that desire that stands between me and peace? And once you have that figured out, move on to the next domino. Dial back your demands. That now that you've figured out what your desire is, realize that that desire has created demands in you. You know, recognize that God is the only one who can bring you fulfillment. He's the only one who can bring you peace. Psalm 73:25, David wrote, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." That's a prayer we need to say to God. God, help me to set aside all these desires and demands that are causing battles within me. And instead, let me turn to you, God, because you are the only one who matters. You're the only one who can truly bring peace. Turn over all of those idols to God. Quit fighting for what you think you deserve. And stop judging everyone who seems to stand in your way. Dissect your desires, dial back your demands, and then reject your resentment. Why do I judge people so harshly? Well, it's usually because those are the people who stand in the way of getting the things that I want. I used to play golf with this guy. He was not much fun to play golf with because he was not a peaceful golfer. You know, they say that golf is a peaceful game, right? You're supposed to enjoy it. You know, it's a walk through the fairways and in the woods, and it's supposed to be fun and peaceful. But this guy, whenever I played golf with him, and it was usually on a crowded golf course, the group that was in front of us was never fast enough for him, right? They were always way too slow for him. So all the time we're playing golf, he's saying, "Why don't they speed up? Look at them standing there on that green, bending over that putt like it's the U.S. Open. Come on, hit the ball in the hole, will you? Why do they keep looking for that ball in the woods? Just lose it already. Move on. Come on." So all the time he's clamoring and arguing with the people in front of us because they're too slow. At the same time, there are people behind us, and they're evil too in his mind. And he begins to judge them. Why do they keep pushing us from behind? Why do they have to think that they need to be right up behind us? What is wrong with them? You know, and he begins to interpret everything that they do. Look at that. They're about to hit the ball right into us. You know, and then he says, you know, "I would let them come by us. I would let them play through, but I don't want to give them. I don't want to give them the feeling that they've won this battle." You know, just over and over again. The people in front are bad. The people in back are bad. Finally, he lets the group behind us play through, but he does it with a glare on his face and some snippy words here. And have you ever played anything with a person like that? Have you ever spent any time with a person like that? Have you ever been a person like that? His desire is to play at his own pace and just enjoy the game at his own pace. His demand is, those people need to get out of my way and those people need to quit pushing me. His judgment is, they are the ones who are at fault. I'm doing things right. They are the ones who are at fault. They're doing it wrong. I am in the right. And then he takes revenge. He says, once we get to the clubhouse, I'm going to let them have it. They're going to know how upset I was with them. I'm going to talk to the golf pro here and tell them that group in front of us is horrible. I'm going to hit the ball real close to them. Just send them a message. You know, you're going too slow. We need D to relinquish our revenge. What that means is we've let the dominoes fall. We have these desires that have become demands, and we begin to judge those around us. The next step is going to be the revenge. It's going to be the violence. It's going to be the lashing out. It's going to be saying something that we regret. We need to relinquish that revenge because God is the judge, according to James. He is the one who takes vengeance on evil. James provides us with an answer to peace. There's a word that he repeats in our text on a couple of different times that if we would just embrace this word, it would keep those dominoes from falling. In fact, it might even keep them from being put up in the first place. That word is found, first of all, in verse 6 of James 4. He says, he gives us more grace. This is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The word is humble. Verse 10 says, brothers, do not slander one another. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord. The word humility, humble yourself appears in this passage on a couple of occasions. And what is James saying? He's saying the key is, if you want to have peace in this world, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before others. Stop putting yourself in the seat of superiority. Stop envisioning your desires and your demands to be greater than anyone else's, because that's a lonely seat to sit in, and it's not a peaceful seat at all. So do you want peace? It begins with humility. It begins with humility in your desires. We say, God, you are enough for me. You are the one in whom I find satisfaction and fulfillment. And yeah, I have things that I need, but God, you promised that you'll provide me with what I need. And then our humility will help us with our demands. God, I know that you will give me the things that I need. I can go without things if it's your will, God. Even if it's the thing that I desire the most, God, you're more important than that to me. And then humility will help us with our judgment. God, you are the only rightful judge. Who am I to sit in judgment of another? I have so many flaws of my own, God. See how humility helps us with our judgment. And then the last domino, punishment. Humility helps us with that too. You know, God, you've shown grace to me, and I need to show grace to others. God, you've given me eternity in heaven with you as your child, through your Son, Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve any of it. So Lord, I'm not going to get even. I'm not going to get back at someone else for something that I believe I deserve. Peace begins in your heart. It begins with submitting yourself to the Lord, humbling yourself before others, and taking on the attitude of Jesus Christ. We can be peacemakers. We can be an oasis of peace right here in this world where it's so desperately needed. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head for just a moment as we prepare to close our service and ask you a couple of questions. Where is it that you lack peace in your life? Think about your relationships. Think about your family, your friends, the church. Think about the place where you work, your neighborhood, your school. Think about these places. Where do you lack peace? Ask God to show it to you. Ask Him to reveal it to you. Ask Him to help you to see the error that you are making that's resulting in that lack of peace. You can't control anyone else, but you can control your thoughts, your attitudes, your actions, your pride, your unnecessary demands, your idolatry. You can control that. Ask God to help you find fulfillment and satisfaction in Him alone, and lay down your weapons of revenge and unforgiveness. Make peace. Make peace first with God, then with yourself, and then with that person. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that even though we live in a world that is full of conflict, full of terrible memories of very difficult days, like this day 10 years ago, even though we live in a world full of these conflicts, Lord, you have provided peace for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you help us to take hold of it, to grab it, and then to live it. Lord, that you'd help us to stop the dominoes of conflict from falling in our lives continually. Instead, Lord, that you'd give us the grace to humble ourselves before you and before our brothers and sisters, that, Lord, we might be the example of peace. Father, that others might see that peace living in us and know that you are there. Help us, Lord, to be peacemakers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.